Good morning, church. We are glad that you are here today. I wanted to start in Isaiah chapter 2 this morning. In Isaiah chapter 2, God calls his people to the highest place. And as we come together to lift him up in worship and praise and song, I want us to see and understand this idea that everything else that we have in our lives is just a hill. Everything else that we have in our lives is just a smaller thing in a smaller place. And God is calling us to his mountain, the highest, greatest, grandest place where his presence is. And so he describes it this way in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come, and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against sword, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The prophet points forward to a day in which everyone will be drawn up to the mountain of God, in which we will seek his light, his path, his way, his direction for our lives. He draws us to a place of peace, not violence, not enmity, not war. And church, it is so tempting for us to look around at the world around us and say, well, we don't see these things. But God has called us to faith. And so where we don't see these things and the evil that lies all around us, lift your eyes. Stop looking at the man-made hills around you and set your focus and your gaze on the mountain of God. Anything lower than that is not worth your attention. So let us learn to walk in his ways. Let us celebrate the fact that we get to be in his light. And let us rejoice that he has opened our hearts and our eyes to his truth, that all things will come to this realization one day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we praise your holy name. And Lord, we confess that at times we focus on what's going on around us more than what's going on above us. So I pray that you lift our eyes, that you lift our hearts to where you are, that we may see your light, that we may learn to walk in your ways, that we will put away the evil ways of the world, that we will put away the anger and the violence, and that our hearts will be your dwelling place for peace. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and ushered in for us your kingdom, your rule in our lives. So give us strength, Father. Give us faith to walk and to live each day for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Praise him, angels in the high. Sun and moon rejoice before him. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen. Amen.
Amen.
obeyed. Laws which never shall be broken. For the guidance he hath made. Alleluia, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, for he is glorious. Never shall his promise fail. God hath made his saints victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail. Alleluia, amen. 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 Praise the God of our salvation. Hosts on high his power proclaim. Heaven and earth and all creation, Lord, and magnify his name. Alleluia, amen. Amen. Amen.
Today's psalm is from Psalm 119.
How shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules imparts to keep the conscience clean. Tis like the sun, a heavenly light that guides us all the day. And through the dangers of the night, a lamp to lead our way. A lamp to lead our way. Thy word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. And
last night I was about 6 or 7 inches deep in the blessings that we were receiving from heaven, hoping my car wouldn't flood out. I pulled up in a driveway, hoping nobody would run over because I was sticking out a little bit. I wasn't thinking, oh, what a blessing this is. I was thinking, that is sure deep. Oh, God is so good. He is so good, and we don't deserve any of it, and he just keeps blessing us and blessing us and blessing us again. Oh, y'all want me to read? Okay, I could preach real good. 1 Samuel 17, starting in 38. 1 Samuel 17, 38. Then Paul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. God always wins, some sooner, some later. Our dear Father, we love you so much. I don't have the words to give you the glory that you deserve. You are holy, you are awesome, you are righteous, you are pure. You're so loving and so forgiving. We don't deserve to be part of your family, but you have given us that opportunity to be your sons and daughters, to live the life that you've laid out for us. We are blessed more than all peoples. Help us to keep the joy that you give us in our hearts, no matter the circumstances. Help us to keep the peace in our heart that you promise and deliver to us. Help us not to be so concerned about this world. Help us not to sink our roots so deep in this world. This is not our home. We are foreigners in this land. Our home is in heaven. We believe your promises that you have made, that you have kept for thousands of years, and we know that you will keep them for us also. We look forward to our home in heaven. We are homesick for what you have prepared for us, and to be with you and to be in the spirit like you are and not saddled down with this body that's decaying more each day. Help us love you. Help us to share that love with others. Help us to share our faith with others. Help us to be kind. Help us to be example to the world of how Jesus was, how he treated people with respect and kindness and love. We are so blessed. We thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for giving us the Lord's Supper to remind us weekly of who you are and who we are. We are so blessed. Help us to lean on your strength each day and not our own, because we're not as near as strong as we think we are. We love you. We are so happy to be part of your family, and we are enjoying the time to worship together and praise you and fellowship. We love being your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death, nor yet beheld thy cottage home in that despised Nazareth. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets streets and plains, thou Son of God, but we believe thy footsteps trod his streets and plains, thou Son of God. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. But we believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. But we done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body lay, nor saw thee in that upper room, nor met thee said, why seek the living with the dead? But we believe that angel said, why seek the living with the dead? We walk not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend, who raised to heaven their wandering view. Then low to earth all prostrate bend, but we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union, while partaking of the bread. Wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this, my memory. God so loved, what wondrous measure, loved and gave the best of heaven, bought us with that matchless treasure, yea, for us his life was given. Precious feast, all else surpassing, wondrous love. seen. Precious blood for you and me. While we sup, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory. Precious peace, all else surpassing, wondrous love for you and me. While we feast, Christ gently whispers, do this in my memory.
Well, as we turn our hearts and our minds to what Christ did for us on the cross and celebrate what he did to us through communion, let's think about a few things. A few weeks ago, when my wife and I were just talking about stuff, and she brought up something I thought was pretty cool. And I would think, any love for anyone's child would be a lot like this. But she mentioned, before we were talking about EJ, and she mentioned years before we had EJ, she loved him. And that she would pretty much do anything to ensure that he would be protected and he'd be safe. And, it made me think about, God, and before he created us, he loved us and would do anything it took to ensure that we were saved from any kind of wrath he would have on this world or on anything. In Romans chapter 5, through chapter 5, and it's a familiar chapter, we look at where God talks about, us being justified through faith and having peace with God through faith. But I'll start in verse 6, and it's very familiar to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I think we should probably meditate on that a whole lot more than what we do. God not only laid his Son's life down for those he loved, but potentially those who were enemies by sin. And I think about that and I think, you know what? I probably couldn't do that. I probably could not send EJ to die for enemies. I mean, that's pretty powerful as to how great God's love is. And it really shows how God defines love. And that's some thoughts I wanted to think about as we reflect back on what Christ did for us. So let's do that as we pray together. Father God, as much as we try, we have not been able to show anywhere how we love can't even compare to how you've loved us, God. But we do strive to love as you've loved. God, we thank you for what you did and sending your Son to save us from our sin. We thank you for his price he paid on the cross, and we thank you for raising him up, and we thank you for showing us how to overcome death through your Son. As we partake of this bread Help us to do so in a manner pleasing to you as we remember Christ's body and it broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, as we continue to give thanks, we pray that we partake of this blood that your Son shed for us on the cross, knowing from what he said to his disciples that greater love shown no more than to lay down one's life for one's friend, and you are my friends. God, we thank you that because of what you've done through your Son, we are no longer enemies through sin and with the enemy, but we are now your servants, your children, your friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father God, as we give of what we have, God, you know this as we do. This is not repayment for what you've done, as we could not repay for you for what you've done. It's not an IOU, but God, it is simply, it's the blessings you've given us for us to bless others. And God, we pray that as we bless others, it is done so for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail. Forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses endureth. Thine own dear prayer.
us to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto.
Church, this morning we've already had a very clear image of Jesus before our eyes. And so as we go into the scriptures this morning together, I hope, my prayer and the Spirit's work is that you and I will be better equipped to live faithful lives in response to the love that we have received in Jesus Christ. So It is a great task before us. It is not easy, because the one that we are looking at, the one that we are studying, the one that we are striving to be like is perfect. But today, the Word, Scriptures, and the Spirit drive us to that perfect picture. So let's humble our hearts, let's bow our heads, and let's ask God for strength. Our Father in heaven, every one of us is humbled and blown away by the sacrifice made for us. You saw fit in our weaknesses to send us a Savior. And Father, we praise you because you saw fit to love us so much to send us your only Son. Praise your name, Lord, because you have given us the greatest gift there is. This morning, Father, as we take another look at Jesus, I pray that you work in our hearts. Lord, every one of us showed up this morning with things that we're worried about, things that we are unfaithful in, things that we need to forgive and be forgiven for. Father, we lay our lives before you. We lay ourselves bare because you know everything. You know our greatest secrets. You know our deepest shame. You know everything. So I pray, Father, that today we will be encouraged to see Jesus clearly and understand and live a life closer to him. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. I want to paint a little picture for you this morning. I know that you can relate to this. You are minding your own business, going through something very difficult in your life. And you are praying about it. You are asking God for strength to get through it. You are being tested. You are being tried. It hurts. It's scary. And you are just clinging to everything you know to be true, that God is going to get you through, that he's going to make everything right in the end. And just when you think, okay, I might have this okay. God and I are going to make this together. Someone comes along and they open their mouth in your general direction and they say the absolute perfect words to make you see red in anger or destroy all the faith that you had. I told you we could relate. Isn't that frustrating? Because you are focusing so much, and God, give me the strength to get through this. Give me the strength to get through this difficult chapter, and I'm holding you and you alone, and I have faith in you, and I know that you're going to deliver me, and someone comes along and just, boom, and they just get you. You get angry, right? You get angry or you get hurt. And what do we do when we're angry or hurt? We defend, right? That's what we do. That's what we do when we get angry. Really? You're going to say that to me? Well, have some of this. We're hurt. What do we do when we're hurt? We defend. You're going to come at me? You're going to strike at me? Well, have some of this. Church, this is not new. Okay? And what we're going to see this morning, this is exactly how the enemy works. This is exactly how the enemy works. That when you and I find ourselves in difficult situations, that we're trying to do the right thing. We're trying to be faithful. We are trying to hold on to the love and the power of God. The enemy comes in at just the right time and says, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about this? In Luke chapter 23 this morning, we see God's Son hanging on the cross, the most painful death that we can imagine. And it is here that he faces his very last temptation. I want you to hear, as we read this story, three times what the enemy says to him. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 26. 23:26. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene. He was coming in from the country. They laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, where they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Love kept Jesus on the cross. He is at his weakest. He is in the act of being killed. And the tempter comes to him through three different people and says, "Why don't you just save yourself? You have the power and the ability, or so you say, The placard hanging above your head says you're the king of God's people. You have been saying everywhere you go that you are the Son of God. You have been telling all of us that you are God's anointed, God's chosen, that you are here to save everyone. How are we to believe that you can save anyone else if you can't even save yourself? Who do you think is speaking in these three voices? It's the enemy. It's the enemy. Jesus is clinging to the hope of the Father, who he trusts, who he knows, who he has been with. For Jesus knows that this suffering is temporary. Jesus knows that the Father is using this in what seems to be on the surface a horrible situation, that God is using it for his own glory. And seeing how the story finishes, God is justified. Because Jesus stays on the cross. Jesus will not give in to the enemy. He will not allow these temptations to find root in his heart. He will love and he will forgive and he will love and he will love and he will suffer and he will do whatever is necessary so that the world may find forgiveness of sins. That is your Lord and Savior. That is the master of your life and all eternity. Three times. Save yourself. Save yourself. You have God's power and approval. Use it to make your life easier. Church, how many times are you and I tempted with this very same thing? Come on, you could make this problem go away. Just cheat. You could make this all disappear. Just lie. You could get this person, you know them well enough, right where it hurts. You could stop this argument. So don't swallow the vitriol. Pew! Throw it right back at them. Come on. You have the power. Save yourself. The enemy tempts us with this every single day. And he knows when we're weak, right? He knows when we're suffering. He knows when life is getting hard. And God is saying, trust me. Trust me a little bit more. And we cry out, well, how long, Lord? How long do I have to trust you? Because it's getting difficult. And every single day, it's hard. And life is it's just hard. How long do I have to trust you? And God says, as long as it takes. Do I still have to trust you? Obviously, you're not there yet. Keep trusting me. One of our greatest cries and one of our most often prayers. How long, Lord? How long will the suffering last? How long do I have to put up with this situation? How long do I have to put up with this person? How long do I have to deal with this? How painful does it have to get before you, in your divine oversight, say enough? The next time you're suffering and dealing with your own stuff, and someone comes along and digs it in, forgive them. You know how much it hurts when you refuse forgiveness? It does, doesn't it? Because they said something, they did something, they stepped on your toes, they hurt your feelings, they cut deep. And the longer you wait to forgive, what does it do? Well, it hurts, it festers, it grows. It gives you more reason to feel justified in your vengeance. Well, you let it sit for a while, you refuse to forgive, and now you're like, well, you know what? They had it coming. They deserve this. I'm good. I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve what they said. I didn't deserve how they hurt me. I didn't deserve how they went out of their way to make my life difficult. I didn't deserve that. I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. I don't deserve any of their punishment. But you know what? They started it. They deserve it. So I'm going to give it. You hear the echo here on the cross back at the beginning of the story, Luke chapter 4. You remember the temptation? Final temptation, number 3. The enemy takes Jesus up and says, hey, if you are the Son of God, I think we just heard that. Satan himself, in his own words, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down because God will not let you be destroyed. Let's see it. Save yourself. And of course, Jesus says, you don't put God to the test. That's what Scripture says. Because at that point, he's quoting Scripture too, right? He's quoting Scripture. He's bringing it out. He says, oh, the angels won't let you stub a toe. The angels are going to, God will protect you. He'll take care of you. And Jesus says, don't put God to the test. Church, that's the kind of faith that you and I are to have. That I'm not worried about stubbing a toe or falling off a building or anything else. Because it is God who holds my life in His hands. And the minute that you and I start to take our lives out of God's hands and put them in these capable fingers right here, what do you think happens? What do you think happens when you know better than the Lord? And you take your own life in your own hands. And you take His job of vengeance. We'll get to that later. Vengeance is above your pay grade. That's His job. Yet how many times do we feel qualified to know who deserves to be mistreated? Who deserves to be yelled at? Who deserves to be hated? Who deserves to be treated poorly? We know! How do we know? Well, they offended us. They hurt us. They obviously deserve to be hurt. Who do you think that is? Is that Jesus? When you and I do that, when you and I say that, when you and I think that, is that Jesus? Is that Jesus in our lives saying, you know what? I think you're right, Michael. You didn't deserve to be talked to like that. Get them. Think my Lord and Savior's telling me that? You think it's Jesus when He goes, you know what? You didn't deserve to be mistreated there. You didn't do anything wrong. And they're going to treat you that way? Get them. You think that's Jesus? If you belong to the Son of God, why not save yourself? Why not go against everything you've ever confessed before God? That it is impossible to save yourself, but instead you are relying for your eternal salvation upon the love, the grace, and the undeserving mercy of God for the forgiveness of your sins. And we honestly fool ourselves. We listen to the lies of the devil and convince ourselves that that same God is going to say, but this situation, you take it by the reins. You go get it. You save yourselves. Robert read for us an amazing story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this story is very apropos for this morning's lesson. I know what you're thinking because you know how the story ends. Well, wait a minute, Michael. David killed Goliath. How are you going to do this? I know, it's going to be fun. 1 Samuel chapter 17, David does kill Goliath. But look at the details here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Saul tried to equip David, right? What did he put on him? His armor. What did he give him? His spear, his shield, his sword. He said, all right, look, David, if the Lord's put this in your heart to go up and stand against Goliath, I wouldn't even feel right unless I at least equipped you, right? I at least got to get you ready for this fight. We didn't read this, but does everybody remember what was happening every day up until this day when David showed up to bring, you know, his brother's lunch? What was going on? What was happening in the story? They were being taunted. Every single day, Goliath is going out, and you just get this, you get this valley, and you have the Philistines on one ridge, and you have God's army on the other ridge, and every day, the giant's going out there with all of his people, and they're standing out there, and he's like, come on! Come on, let's fight today! And you have the king, you got David's brothers, and you got the whole army of God just going, oh, he's big. Oh. How many times over and over in Scripture do we see God bring his people to a scary looking place? And how many times do we see God people going, I just don't see how God can get me out of this. I'll go my own way. I'll take my life in my own hands. Church, do you believe that God loves you enough to take care of you for all eternity? Then live it. Trust him. Why are we quaking in our shoes? Make the list. Illness, fear, no money, no security, a busted political system, a pandemic, I don't care what it is. Why are God's people so scared? Because he's big. They got a giant. They got a giant. Hey, you know how big it takes when Jesus shows up and you're going to be able to see him from the east to the west? I'll take your giant and I'll show him Jesus. Seriously. The king says to David, hey, here's all the armor, here's the sword, all right? So if you got your mind set on doing this, you know, at least take this stuff. And David goes, I can't use this stuff. I haven't tested it. I can't do this, so I'm going to do what I know. And he goes out and he gets what? Five little pebbles. His slingshot. You guys really going to stand here and let this oaf blaspheme our God? And you're going to cower? You're going to hide? Really? That's the voice you're going to listen to. God takes care of everything for us, and you're going to hear the voice of the enemy, and you're going to go, life is scary. What are we doing? What are we doing? Why do we lose our faith by Tuesday? Because somebody said something. Someone at work, someone at school, someone in your family says something, and you just go, forget Jesus. I'm going to take this in my own hands. How come we don't just say, oh, Father, forgive them right now. Forgive them right now because they need it. They need it. Just forgive them. I want them to see your mercy. I want them to see your glory. See, David says something amazing here. Verse 45. David says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. Excuse me, not a dragon. A javelin. You've got all these weapons of warfare, but I tell you what I got. Everybody looking at it? 1 Samuel 17. I hope you're an underliner. If you're an underliner, I would underline. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Church, your fights this week are not going to be won because you are so strong. Your fights this week are going to be won because God is with you. If you're on his side, you're going to win. If you stand against him, it doesn't matter how long it looks like victory, you're going to lose because God wins. Why are we trusting anything else? God wins. David says, you got all those weapons. Oh, it looks scary. You bet it does. But I have God. You guys have seen every Marvel movie that's been made within the last, you know, 7, 8 to 10 years, right? No? You should. They're amazing. I love the Avengers. They get all these superheroes together and they all have their unique powers and abilities. And so they all get to fight. They all get to fight, these bad guys. And I couldn't even tell you what movie it was. I just love the line. These superheroes are looking around going, how are we going to win this battle? How are we going to win this fight? You know, they have this and they have that. And I don't even remember who says it. You'll probably remind me afterwards. One of them just says, we have a Hulk. Okay. It's Iron Man. We have a Hulk. What made you think you were going to win? We have a Hulk. And if you've seen a Hulk, he's kind of big and bad, right? Yeah. We have a Hulk. That's what David says to those giants over there. I don't care what weapons you have. I don't care what you stand against me. I am on God's side. And in verse 47, he's going to deliver you to me so that all the assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hand. Now, what does this have to do with today's story? Well, church, you and I are not called to fight battles in the same way that this world fights battles. We are held to a very higher standard because our goal is not to destroy others. The enemy's already been destroyed. He's flailing because he knows his time is short. Jesus took care of that. Ours is a rescue mission. Ours is sharing love and mercy and showing other people what the love of Jesus looks like. We know what it looks like in our lives, and now this is our opportunity to show other people what it can look like in their lives. And what does it look like? Father, forgive them, because they don't really know what they're doing. Save yourself. No, I don't think I will. God's put me here. I'm going to see it through. You know, if you really do belong to God, if your God is anything whatsoever, save yourself. No. Whatever he sees fit to put me through, so be it. His is the victory. And I will not let go of him. Because anything standing against God will not stand. So what does that look like in our lives? Well, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's how we're supposed to fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it's good because we need a reminder every once in a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I'm away. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Our weapons are not of the flesh. Look, I'm going to say something real scary. This week our president said, hey, what do you need your guns for? Because you're going to need nuclear bombs and F-16s if you really want to take on the government. I won't even ask you to raise your hand if that made you just a little nervous. I won't ask you if anything within the last 2 years made you just a little nervous. What do our nerves tell us to do? Save ourselves. The weapons of our warfare are not of this world. Kind of seems to me that sounds an awful lot like we don't fight like they fight. We prayed for it, right? I mean, didn't you amen when you said, yeah, Jesus, save us all. Get us back to heaven because we want to be with you anyway, right? How come you and I believe the lie that we're just going to live however we want, like the rest of the world right here, right now? We're going to live just like everybody else, and then on that day, he's going to say, oh, yeah, oh, good, good. Well, you didn't cheat on your wife, but you did everything else according to their rules. You were a nice person, but you lived according to all the enemy's standards. If I'm being ridiculous, tell me. If we're seeing Jesus clearly, I think we better wake up. I realize the implications of what is being said this morning. This is scary stuff. It's scary stuff if you don't know the God of the army of Israel. It's scary stuff if you're hanging on that own personal cross of yours and you don't know what happens on the other side of the grave. Following God is absolutely terrifying if you don't have hope that he is in control and that he has the battle won. That's the difference between David and Saul, right? Saul didn't trust God. He didn't know. David, hey, I've seen what God does. I trust him with everything. Church, do you trust God with everything? Do you trust him with everything? Or do you just trust him with some little stuff? We'll end it up here. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Jesus forgave his murderers on the cross, and God won the battle in the resurrection. That's the story. That's the facts. And then he calls us to love our enemies. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Hey, you don't curse them when they curse you. You bless them. Yeah, but they cursed me. Sounds like a perfect opportunity for blessing. Right? That's exactly what he described. When they curse you, you bless them. Yeah, but they curse me really bad. Oh, sorry, you're the exemption because it was really bad. We're guilty, aren't we? Playing games with God. He says, hey, this is how you follow me. Yeah, but I have an exemption. I have a pass. I have a reason to do it not your way and yet still think I'm doing it your way. It's getting sticky, isn't it? In Romans chapter 12, starting verse 17. 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. You can watch the movie, but you don't become an avenger, right? I guess that's what that's saying. Yeah. I may have to rethink my movie choices. Oh. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, so with all this extra energy that you and I have from not avenging ourselves, what do we do? What do we do with all this free time that we've been devoting to vengeance? What do we do? Well, he tells us in the very next verse. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Well, my enemy can get his own food. Well, the Bible says you get your enemy's food. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. So what, I got to follow my enemy around just to see when he's going to be thirsty or not? I'm going to just walk behind my enemy with a Gatorade? Just maybe? We may have to rethink how we're living our lives to follow Jesus. We may have to rethink what we've turned it into, being a follower of Jesus. Because it just feels so normal, doesn't it? It feels so normal to worship and sing and say great things and walk away this week, and what happens? Well, we go through life as it happens, and then the enemy comes in and says, save yourself. Just little words, little poke, and we go, wah! And we do. But then we can come back together next Sunday and we go, yay, God is good. And God's looking at us going, yes, and I want you to be good too. I want you to be good too. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Church, we can only fight God's way from a place of victory. You can't fight like Jesus when you're scared of losing. Can you? Can you turn the other cheek when you're afraid of losing that fight? Can you bless your enemy if you're scared of what your enemy's going to do to you? Nope. The only way that we can be like Jesus, live like Jesus, follow in the footsteps of Jesus is from a place of victory. So I'll just ask you a question this morning. Have you won? Have you won? Have you been born again into eternal life? Have you been given the gift of indestructibility? Because if so, then it's time for us to fight like he fights. Our weapons are not like the world's weapons. Our fight is not the world's fight. Our fight is to beat back the devil and to call as many as possible to see Jesus. It's a worthy fight. It's worth our time. It's worth our time. If you haven't won the fight and you need to be baptized into Jesus, we invite you to do that. If you are on God's side, then quit shaking in your armor. Quit standing there on your side of the ravine, on God's side of the ravine, and scared of anything. You know what happened on the first day of the week, right? God restored him. Indestructible. Oh, he had a few scars, but never to be hurt again. Where are you living? Which side of the ravine? Let's stand together and sing.
I'm mine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it's all my love to thee. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. I have a few announcements. It is a prayer request, but I don't know who all heard about it, but apparently there was a family in New Deal on Friday that lost their 2-year-old to a drowning. So we just need to keep that family in our prayers. Don't know their name, but God does, and we just need to just keep them in mind. This coming Tuesday at 7 at the Lee's house, there's a ladies' Bible study once again. There's good turnout last week, so encourage all the ladies to come. There's a secret sister sign up in the foyer. There's going to be the drawing on August 1st, and if anybody has any questions, just talk to Charlie McCoy, and she can give you all the details about that. Wednesday, hope everybody gets to come back Wednesday for services. We're going to have, last Wednesday of the month, so it will be a singing service. So if you want to come, sing your favorite songs and just spend a good time just worshiping God, I encourage you to come back for that. Next Sunday is 4th of July, and whoever wants to come back at 7 o'clock in the evening, there's going to be a cookout here at the building. The Lees are going to provide the burgers and dogs. But everyone else, if you'll bring sides, dessert, drinks, fireworks, and chairs to sit in, we'll have some fireworks after it gets dark. So, did I miss anything? Is there anything else I need to add? Yes, ma'am.
We are actually the
okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll close with prayer. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for today and this time we have together. Thank you for just being just so much bigger and more powerful than our problems. And I pray, Father, that we would just go out this week and just for the rest of our lives and just treat people with the love and kindness that they that you tell us to. I pray, Lord, that we would just be those ambassadors for you, and that we would just share your love with the people that we come into contact with, Lord, that we wouldn't have to worry about fighting our own battles, but know that you've already given us the victory, and I pray that we would just win as many people over to your side as possible. Just please be with the family in New Deal that lost their little child. Just please give them the peace and comfort they need during this time, and just with everyone else that's going through different health issues or just difficult times, I pray that they would just lean on you for your strength and guidance. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.